no one in this house. Again, I'm going to lay it heavy on you guys. If you make it through VBS, two more days, I know you're going to do good. Tomorrow's chicken tenders. Is that what I heard? Man, if that don't get you back, I don't know what will. Amen. Pizza got you here. Amen. Chicken tenders. But anyways, imagine that in Northeast Georgia, the capital of chicken. Isn't that right? We're blessed people. Amen. You know, wherever there's a preacher, there's a chicken on death row. So you got to believe that. Amen. We're going to take care of business on the chicken. All right. Last time we got together, we've been talking about prayer. I hope it's been a blessing to you as it is to me. And as we continue to grow in grace and grow in understanding of the Word of God and the wisdom of God, I hope it blesses you. We need some WD-40 on that door there, Brother John. He just had to do it twice. He knew it, did it the first time, and he said, I'm going to do it again. I already got you, so I got to get him, all right? I got Cindy, now I got John. But anyways, last time we got together in prayer, here's a few statements that I made. I said, your perception of prayer will determine the level of reception from your prayers. Okay? Perception of prayer will determine the level of reception from prayer. You know, a lot of people don't like to pray. A lot of people don't like to communicate with the Father because of various reasons. And we talked about those views, remember? The view of faith, the view of acceptance. A lot of us struggle with being accepted in the Beloved. We struggle with being comfortable in our relationship with the Lord, comfortable in our relationship that He's forgiven our past. So many times we have so much, you know, luggage and baggage we carry around, it's hard for us to make that ascension into the hill of God. But we have to have that exception, and then that produces that expectation. Remember that? The expectation. We should go to prayer expecting God to do something phenomenal because He's phenomenal all by Himself. He's just awesome. He's the answer to everything. He's the all in all. And then I talked about joy, and then I talked about hunger. Again, these are just five views. There's so many different aspects of that, but I wanted to just lay that out there of why we have a hard time receiving from the Lord. So the Father's response can be affected by our approach to Him. Remember that? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Okay? So the Father's response can be affected by our approach to Him. We got to go to Him believing He is the Almighty God. We got to believe that He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Rapha, He's our healer. He's a great physician. He's El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. He's the one that supplies all of our needs according to the riches that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so that affects us. And then we took you to Psalms chapter 24, and we talked about the several keys that are there. One of the keys was the acknowledgement of His greatness, to acknowledge His greatness. So many times we make God too small. See, He's already too big for us anyhow, but we make Him too small in our understanding and our revelation and our praise and our prayers and our worship songs, and we have to learn how to do like David did and expand that and understand how great He is. Remember, number two was the acceptance of His sovereignty, that He created everything, and everything has a balance. Everything has an ebb and a flow. Everything in the kingdom is perfect because perfection has created it, and we have to learn how to live in that. Amen? Even when it's unstable and turbulent on the outside. That's the power of living in the kingdom. Anyway, 2 Samuel 6, 1 through 23, we talked about that. The reward, verse 5, and Obadiah, and about the blessing, how that the glory of God resided in the Ark of the Covenant, and this Levite was blessed, man. His whole life was turned upside down within 3 months. Isn't that amazing? I believe the more we spend time with God, our lives will be turned upside down, and the blessings of the Lord will just overshadow us. It's not money. It's not cars and things. It's the peace of God that rules your heart. That's number one. Amen? All right, so that was last week. If you didn't get all those notes, you can get a CD, or you can go to the website and get that information downloaded, and it'll be a blessing to you. All right, so tonight on Kingdom Perspectives on Prayer, I want to talk about the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith. Now, I'm not going to go yet into the categories of theological understanding and a numbering of specific prayers. We're going to get to that shortly. I'm still leading you into foundational truths so that we have something strong to walk on when we begin to go deeper into the categories of prayer. Remember, I'm not here tonight or throughout this teaching to bring theology to you. I want you to get a relationship with God that is relational. Remember, we want relational prayer. We want relational communication between us and God, not mechanical, and we're not parrots. We're not going to repeat somebody else. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Most pastors, shepherds, they lead their people to repeat after them. I don't want you to repeat after me because your relationship should be second to none. Your relationship should be so awesome, you don't need anybody else to help carry you in prayer. Can anybody say amen? So, prayer of faith, I want you to write this underneath it, confident communication. Confident communication. There's so many different things I could say about that. We can call it boldness in prayer or what have you, but I want you just to write that for now. Confident communication, because the prayer of faith is where we're headed. We're headed to a place of boldness in God where our communication with God is confident. We have confident communication with God. We need that in this hour, especially as the hourglass gets ever so lower and life becomes so much dimmer according to prophecy in the hour of great change. We've got to learn how to have confidence in our communication with God. Amen. That's why I say, I'm not going to put a chain on you. I'm not going to lead you and say you have to do it my way. You have to have your own prayer life in this last hours because it will mean the survival of yourself and your family. I believe that. It also means survival of churches here and churches there. It's spotted all over America and around the world will determine how we move in faith with God, whether we make it through the coming days. All right, so let me give you the statement. Our boldness in prayer is discovered and realized when we are confident in what we are saying. I'll read it again and finish it. Our boldness in prayer is discovered and realized when we are confident in what we are saying and have understanding of who we are communicating with. One more time. Our boldness in prayer is discovered and realized when we are confident in what we are saying and have understanding of who we are communicating with. Now, that would be elementary, but yet it's very profound. So our boldness, we recognize it, we realize it when we're confident, when we're communicating with God. Because if we don't know who we're talking to, we won't know what to say. If we don't have this boundary and this structure of understanding of what to say to God, then we'll do vain repetitions of constantly just saying the same things over and over again. How many of y'all have been there in prayer? It's ditch praying. You just get stuck in a ditch, and you can't seem to get out of it. That's why I love tongues. Oh, somebody better help me. That's why I love singing in the Spirit. That's why I love, you know, just quoting Scripture and then just calling Abba God, Daddy, Father, so many wonderful names that He is. But so many times we get stuck. So we got to learn and be confident and be bold in what we're saying, okay? And then we got to understand who we're talking to. Again, we limit the Father because we have a limited understanding of who He is. Because we spend limited time studying Him. Y'all real quiet in this Catholic mausoleum. It's the truth. And when we do that, we limit ourselves to the totality of what God wants to do because we don't have the confidence in our communication with Him because we don't understand. Here's another quote I want to give you, and then I'll teach this whole thing and try not to hang off the chandeliers. We must accept the Word as His will and boldly declare it in prayer. Again, it sounds very elementary. We must accept the Word as His will and boldly declare it in prayer. See, again, that's knowing what to say. Again, He knows the needs that we have. He understands the totality of what we're lacking. He understands what we need. All those things are evident in the Word of God about the attributes of who He is, the characteristics of who He is. But so many times we fail to remember He is the great I Am. We forget that He is El Shaddai, the breasted one, who's able to feed and take care of us with no problem. More than enough. Amen. We forget those things. And so when we understand and we accept that it is the will of God for our lives, then we can begin to declare it boldly in our prayer with God. And I can't wait to get into more of that, but I'm going to go on. John Wesley said this. He said, it seems God is limited by our prayers. He said, God is limited by our prayers or our prayer life, that He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him. That's pretty powerful. I believe John Wesley knew what he was talking about. It seems God is limited by our prayer life, that He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him. So why is that? Why don't we ask Him? Why don't we stand boldly in His throne as we've been ushered in through the blood of the Lamb by the power of the Holy Spirit and the angelic heavenly host? The reason, I believe, is because we don't properly understand two things. And these are not it. These are just two that I want to teach you. Number one, we don't understand our position in Him. And there's so many subcategories, and we can go a long way on this, but these are just two for tonight to teach. We don't understand our position. And number two, we don't understand our authority. I'm talking to the body of Christ tonight. I'm talking to people who've been in church for 20, 30, 40 years. I'm not talking about the person who just, you know, was born again last weekend. I'm talking for the person who's an elder within the house of God. Amen? So we don't understand our position, and we don't understand our authority. Now, you know I teach from the law first mentioned. That's one of my favorite ways to bring you instruction, because we get to see the Father through the lens of the beginning, as opposed to somebody teaching us theology or moving further into doctrine. We get to see fresh the things of God. So I want you to go to Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to talk about this in the law first mentioned. Now, those of you that heard my teaching on dominion, you've heard my teaching about Adam. I'm going to show you something that I didn't teach before, so this is a little extra. And those of you been in ISM, so it's you're going to hear some familiar things, but I'm going to show you a different view according to this teaching that the Holy Spirit brought me to. Okay, is that all right? Genesis chapter 2, but I'm going to read Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27 and 28. So you write that down in your notes. So go ahead and write that down. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Remember, it's Elohim. Okay, so we're triune. We're three parts. The image of God created He him, made him female, or excuse me, male and female created He them. And God blessed them. You ought to have this highlighted in your Bible. It is in mine. And God blessed them. Well, I can preach on that for about an hour or two. And God blessed them. You're blessed, you know that? You're blessed in your creative form of being born again. You're blessed. You say, well, I have this struggle, and I have this limitation in my body, or I have this limitation in my finances, or I have this limitation in whatever. Compared to other folks in the world, you're doing fine. You're blessed. You're blessed in the measure in which you have been given. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Everybody say the earth. It's very important that you catch this concept, the earth. Okay? And He said, subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon. Everybody say the earth. The earth. It's important you hear that name again. Now Genesis chapter 2. And let's look at verse 19. Keep in your mind what I just read to you. Verse 19, it says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. You know, the translation is the man. Amen. God brought it to the man to see what he would call them. Now, to those that are listening tonight, there's many that have never heard this teaching from me. So those of you who have, just hang with me and act like you never heard it, because I'm going to show you something different in it. But he said, I'm going to bring Adam to a place to see what he would call. I'm going to give him the ability to use the supernatural dynamic of faith that I put within his DNA, and I'm going to allow him to do what I did at creation and to name something. Now, you have to understand about dominion. When a name is put on you or put on something, that represents the authority and the lordship of the person giving the name. For an example, when you were born into the world, mommy and daddy looked at this little ball of joy and named you. They had the exact legal right from heaven. They had the legal right from the courts, the legal rights of the state, the government, the whole nine yards, and they named you Sue. That's an old Johnny Cash song. I had to say that. But they named you who you were named, and when you began to learn your name, you didn't have the right to fuss and cuss and mess around and say, I don't like my name, until you got to school. And you didn't like your name, and nobody else liked your name, and bullies made fun of you. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Called you all kinds of names, even when you went in the military and you got old and got whiskers, they still made fun of your name. Can never leave your name unless you go legally change it. So a name was presented by Adam as he understood it through the supernatural power of God and the wisdom given to him, and he became Lord over that creation. Now watch this. So he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. He didn't influence Adam. He said, Adam, I'm giving you that opportunity to call those things as not as though they were. I'm giving you that opportunity to lay upon these animals, the fowls of the air, everything creeping. I'm going to allow you to have dominion over them, not by lassoing them, not by putting a saddle on them, but by naming them. Now watch this. Taking this understanding from the beginning quote that I gave you, the beginning statements I made about being bold and knowing what to say, we have to learn from the Word of God using this example of the law of first mention. This is the same ability given to you and I to name the world we live in. How do you name your life today? What do you call your life today, a success or a failure? What do you call your relationship with God? Flourishing and fruitful, or floundering and a failure? You have to determine that. And you can't look at somebody else sitting next to you to determine that level. You have to look at the Word. See, there is no competition when you know who you are in Christ. I wish somebody would get this revelation, man. Because it gives great authority to you. Because then you become comfortable in your skin. Not cocky, not prideful. You just know who you are in God. You see that? And so from this law of first mention and watching this thing, we're seeing Adam do something that you and I are supposed to be doing, because the second Adam, Jesus Christ, gave us this authority and gave us this right to speak to our world. When we wake up in the morning, we have to speak to our world through the Word of God. Not positive thinking, not wishful thinking. This is getting up and saying, today's the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Woo, glory to God. No weapon formed against me, my family, shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I'm going to condemn it. Why? Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I mean, when you begin to do that, instead of saying, oh, well, there goes my back again. You know, there goes my whatever. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, I got that stupid old car again. Well, at least you ain't walking. Or riding a mule. You may work with a mule, but you know, at least you have something. And declare and say, man, I'm blessed coming in, going out in the city, in the field. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. See, That isn't positive thinking. That is positive decoration that affects my thinking. My words affect my thinking and your thinking, and we declare it. Do you see that? Now my opening statement begins to make more sense. Our boldness in prayer is discovered and realized when we're confident in what we're saying. You know, I make the joke all the time about having that little bread of life thing. You know, the one on your kitchen, you pull the scripture out, and it's the one that you hate. So you pull out another one until it says you're blessed. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It's Christian fortune cookies. Y'all like, I used to do that. I used to pick up, let me see what the Lord has to say today. You know, I was like, ooh. Ah. Pick one up, says, weeping and gnashing of teeth. No. I got to go to work. Maybe that was prophecy. But when you stand up and you wake up in the morning, you begin to look through the Word of God and begin to declare the Word. You begin to order your day. Did you know you can order your day? Because while you're sleeping, the devil is ordering your day. But Zephaniah declares that God is over you, dancing and blessing. He never sleeps, never slumbers. He's playing the day out for you. He's waiting for you to connect with him and get a download from heaven and begin to declare it. But we're too tired, and we're too mopey, and we allow emotions to take over our life, and we drown out the Word of God. See, now we begin to understand what John Wesley was talking about. Can't get nothing done because we're more worried about superficial things that are emotionally led, emotionally fed, that we don't speak the Word of God how God wants it spoke. We don't have a worldview according to the Word of God. We have a me view. And we become so affected by me, we don't do the earth any good. I lost a few friends tonight, but it's all right. Watch this. He said, whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. God said, that's it, boy. That's it. That's a bat. Good job, Adam. It's a bat. That's a water buffalo, Daddy. That's a water buffalo, boy. Good job. That's good, man. Awesome. See, God will let you order your day. He'll let you call it what you want to call it. He'll let your prayer life be anything that you want it to be. If you want to be mechanical and you want to be emotional, God will allow that. Even though he prods and pushes and says, look, pray my word, speak my word, he's going to allow you to name it. And if you don't do it according to the Word of God, the devil will encourage you big time to keep doing what you're doing. That's why we get in ruts. We got to break out of it. We got to stir ourselves up. Like David, man, he had to shake himself. He had to stir himself up. He had to get the joy of the Lord. He had to activate that dynamo, man. And we got the power of the Holy Ghost living in us. We have a greater covenant based on better blood. Why are we so powerless compared to Old Testament people? That isn't meant to hurt. That's meant to spur. That's meant to say, you know what? I want to see the fire of God. I want to see the glory of God. I want to see the miracles of God. I want to see the deliverance like Egypt had laid upon them as Israel went out. We're going to see that. We've seen just a thimbleful, but we're going to see a mighty move of God in the very, very near future. Now watch this. So he said, man, I'm gonna allow Adam, my son, he's going to speak these things. And he did. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmate for him. So here he is. He's walking in dominion. He's walking in faith. He's walking in power. He declares these things. This is the same structure that you and I have to have when we declare the word of the Lord and order our day when we get up. Now, here's what I want you to see from another angle. Number one, I told you, we don't understand our position. Adam understood his position. Adam understood his place. And because Adam understood that, authority was given to him, and within the dominion and within the very region, if you will, he could expand that dominion. He could declare that dominion and walk in authority. You say, what are you talking about? I read it to you in Genesis chapter 1 there. He said, the earth. Notice Adam didn't go and name the stars. He didn't name the planets. He didn't name anything outside of the universe because God made Adam Lord in that garden. I think you're going to catch this in a second. He made him Lord of that place. And so Adam operated within his dominion. He understood his position. And in that position and in that place, he could execute what God told him to do. Now, let me flip this over for prayer life. It means this to you and I. We've got to understand our dominion. We've got to understand our boundaries. We've got to understand our limitations. We have to understand the will of God. We don't understand it unless we get into the Word of God. See, the Word of God has to get in you. And when the Word of God gets inside of you, then the reality of His will comes out of you. It's just natural. It's just a natural flow. If you have junk in, what happens? Junk comes out. If you fill your brain with all kinds of stupid stuff on television and cuss words and everything, one day you're going to hit your thumb with a nail, and everything you learn is going to come out. But if you spend time in praise and prayer and the Word of God, I guarantee you, you can hit it with a jackhammer and you'll give God glory after you get done screaming and hollering. Jackhammer is a big tool, isn't it, brother? But you get my point. No matter what, you're going to give praises to God. Like the old preacher said one time, he got hit with a tomato and so did the praise and worship leader. This was a long time ago in a Brush Arbor meeting. And the praise and worship leader started cussing up a storm. And the old preacher just started praising. And the musician came up to the preacher and said, "How did you do that?" He said, "Well, I had the praise inside of me. So when I got hit, it came out. You had the cussing in you. And when you got hit, the cussing came out." So he goes and he's showing us this understanding of structure, of prayer, of dominion, of faith through Adam. And when Adam fell, this understanding did not leave the earth. This is a principle that is for you and I today. So, he was in his element. So number one, we must understand our position. I got to understand that I'm in Christ. I'm seated in heavenly places far above all principalities and powers. You are too. Is that right? We're seated with him. We have authority with him. We have been engrafted. We have a dominion and an inheritance from him. So we got to understand that. Now, when I understand my position in God, then the authority begins to come out when we pray. Watch this. If I understand the position that by the stripes that Jesus received, I am healed, then I'll have the authority to cast out sickness and cast out devils and, come on now, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's not because the guy with the microphone is super anointed. No, it's all of us who have the capacity and the ability and the commission and commandment by God to go do that. But not all of us obey it because we don't believe it. We don't believe it. We think it's the specialist, the guy with the slick hair and shiny shoes. He's the guy that's got to go out there and do it. You're going to go out there and do it. That's what I love about this church. You guys go out and do it. But there's a lot of people that don't go do it because they don't understand their position. And therefore, they don't have the authority. They don't have the boldness. They don't have the communication of confidence with God. And that's such a shame because God wants everybody listening to me right now to have the most awesome relationship with him through prayer. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't choose one over the other and say, "Man, you're just so much better. You're so much, you were born on the right side of the tracks." Some of us were born under the tracks. Some of us have been railroaded so many times. But in Christianity, we think that, you know, it's the guy that can stand out the most or the gal that can sing the most or whatever, and they're the ones that should be the closest to God. There's so many great, wonderful mothers in the church, man, that nobody knows about who carry the load of the church, and I love them, man, that pray and believe God. So it's not always the one standing up. It's usually the one that's on their knees. Is that right? That's great. So we don't understand our position. Number two, we don't understand our authority. It goes hand in hand. It goes together. So he told Adam, he said, you have the earth. The earth is yours. The earth is your domain. This is what I want you to do, Adam. I want you to declare. I want you to order the day. I want you to speak to these things. I want you to have dominion. And that is the same understanding for you and I today, that we have to have dominion in the realm that God has given us. And that realm is found in his word. It's found in his truth. Listen, James chapter 4, verse 3 says that, you know, we have not because we pray amiss. We pray amiss. We pray against the word. We pray on our own selfish desires. Is that right? We pray for things that we want to have instead of saying, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, whatever you desire to take place, that's what I want to happen. So we got to be careful that we don't ask amiss. That word amiss in the Greek means badly. We pray badly. We pray in error. Amen. How many all glad for some of the things you prayed for God didn't give you? Woo-wee. Yikes. But when we begin to understand the parameters and the boundaries of God, we begin to understand the calling of God in our lives, then we begin to pray with authority. Let me give you an example. There are some people who pray lavish prayers that are so far from reality, it ain't ever going to happen. Let me try it this way. Some people pray for a 7-tier cake, and they haven't even received a donut yet. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of you, I've done it. Come on now, I'm praying for a Porsche. My bike tires are flat. Whoa. I think I need to get them babies pumped up and then worry about, I can't even get to the Porsche dealer, Elder. Even if I had all your money you got. She's got a Porsche, boy. We need to talk to her, amen. Isn't that right, though? How many of y'all done that? We just prayed prayers beyond our limitations, beyond the boundaries of reality, beyond, you know, what we're supposed to be doing, the giftings and callings of God, and all those things that we have been set around us, and we pray amiss, and we pray beyond, and we miss the mark and the target, and then we get frustrated because we're like, well, maybe God's on vacation that week. No, God didn't want you to have that. Come on now, there's people who pray for other people's wives. Or husbands. Some of y'all, you know what I'm talking about. Pray witchcraft. Pray craziness. Pray out of the parameter of the will of God and the word of God. Happens all the time. People pray, you know, they take pastor's position. Happens in churches. Y'all know that. So Adam received his authority. It was on display. And he was able to declare these things. Now watch this. Number one, he knew his position in God and in the garden. He knew his position in God and the Father, and he knew his position in the garden. Therefore, he had authority. See, there are things that you can pray for. Obviously, outside of the world or within the world, you outside your community, you can pray for all kinds of things in that realm. Obviously, salvation, revival, God keep your hand on a specific nation, protect Israel, on and on and on. But the reality is that in our life, the will of God is found out inside the word, not in what we necessarily want, because our feelings and our emotions and our own spirit sometimes can fool us to what we think we should have. Anybody that's ever been in a relationship they wish they never was, you know what I'm talking about. So he knew his position in God. Been there, done that. And he knew his position in the garden. Number two, he knew his authority was from God. Watch this. He knew his authority was from God and over what God gave him. Now, think Selah. Think for a minute. Ponder. Don't Don't cast this off as elementary, because this is very, can be very deeply rooted in your spirit. Listen to what I said. He knew the authority was from God. Do you know that your authority today is from God? The government didn't give you the authority. Your mom and daddy didn't give you the authority. They gave you life, but they didn't give you the authority. God the Father gave you the authority over the garden of your life. How do you care for your garden? Is it all weeded up? You got critters coming in and out? You got sleeky snake coming in and out? Your garden of your life better not have any of them things. You better go get you a weed eater. Get you the word of God, snake be gone, whatever. Get the word of God and begin to declare in Jesus' name, my garden, this place, the kingdom within me, the kingdom around me, is going to be a holy place. It's going to be a place where the glory resides and abides. So he knew this. Do you know it tonight? Do you know your authority? Do you have confident communication with God, or do you have a wish list just based on emotions and flesh and wants and desires and hopes? Or do you really, really have expectation of God and have dominion? This is powerful. This is not dominionism, the where, you know, we're going to roll out the red carpet for Jesus. We're going to take over the entire world. That's not what this is. This is talking about walking in the authority, the dominion that God gave to every single human being living here right now, listening to me right now. You have the right to declare what your life will be in God through the word of God, which is his will. That's good gospel news to me. This teaching liberated me. This teaching set me free, that I did not have to live under the dictates of my emotions. And even though my emotions rise and they fall and they go wild, and we all deal with emotions, men and women. Men are some of the moodiest people at times, aren't we? Especially with no coffee and no biscuits and no grits and no gravy. We're ornery. But you give us those ingredients, we're pretty good guys. Once in a while. There's a lot of murmuring going on by the woman. So he knew his position in God. He knew his dominion. He knew it wasn't to be looking to the stars. He wasn't out to be naming planets. He was looking right where God focused him. And so many times, again, we look beyond our limitations and we're out praying for things that are way beyond what God has for you and I. And that's why I say, I don't want you to pray like me. I want you to pray like the Bible. I want you to pray like Jesus prayed. I want you to pray according to the relationship that you have with God. Because according to your needs, that's how you're going to pray. According to your relationship, that's how you're going to pray. I can only give you structure. And that's what this whole teaching is going to be about for the next couple of years. Is about, you know, the structure. I mean, every time we get together on one of these things, it always turns out to be so long. Somebody wanted me to download or make CDs for that Revelation teaching I did. That took 10 months. That'd be 60 CDs. Wow, I'm not doing it. Download it for free, right? Now, write down Matthew chapter 21, 18 through 22. Matthew chapter 21, 18 through 22. But we're going to go somewhere different. I just want you to write that down. Public school right there. Matthew. Hey, I went to the same public school you did. That way you write it down. But go to Mark chapter 11, okay? Carla, I love you. You know what the Bible says? That laughter doeth good as a medicine. That's why you should always carry a mirror with you. Anyways, all right, Matt. Woo-wee. Ain't that true? All right. Mark chapter 11. Matthew 21 is awesome as well, but it gets a little more expanded, if you will. Mark chapter 11. I'm not going to hold you too long. Check this out. Does she need help again? You know what we need in this church? We need an oxygen mask that comes out of the ceiling, like the planes. So if the laughter gets too much and you get lightheaded, just boop. What do you think? That or some type of slide and slide her out. All right, watch this. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now remember, Jesus did what? He cursed the fig tree, okay, because there was no fruitfulness. And there's a lot to this symbolically, prophetically about Israel and on. But watch this. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Look at the statement in verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Really, the translation should be have the God kind of faith. But here's what Jesus was saying. He was saying this in that one statement. It's written in red in your Bible. You can do this. He wasn't trying to be deep theologically. He wasn't trying to throw a theological mountain that you could not scale, that only the scholars and the people with a microphone could do. He was in essence saying, you can do this. Have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. You can do this. You see, that's the way we should approach prayer. You can do this. You can have that prayer life with God that's phenomenal. You can have that prayer life with God that produces results and produces fruit for his kingdom. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Let's break it down. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Jesus is not talking about the literal mountain. He's talking about the obstacles that would be in your life, the obstacles of your faith. You might want to write that down. The obstacles of your faith. What is in the way from keeping you from having the God kind of faith? What is keeping me from having the faith of God to declare and decree that all these things that we see will be paid off? Not in 5 years, not in no banknote time. How about 5 months? How about 5 days? How about 5 minutes? Come on, somebody. All things are possible, but I have to get rid of those things that are in my way. He said, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. I remember when I first read that, I struggled throwing mountains into the sea. How about you? I don't think none of us in this room has ever thrown a literal mountain in the sea. If you have, you need to lay hands on me, please. I've grunted a lot in prayer. Move! Still there. So he's not talking about a literal mountain. He's talking about that obstacle. Be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. In other words, have the God kind of faith, the faith in God. When we communicate with him, we have confident communication with him. Like Jesus, he looked at the fig tree, he declared it cursed, and it became cursed. He spoke to it. Like Adam, he spoke and declared and decreed in his dominion through authority what would take place, how these animals would be named. And he was Lord in that garden. Jesus is Lord of all. He's Lord of our new birth. He's Lord of the kingdom. So we got to learn how to walk like our master. He said, you shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Everybody say believe. Well, you can't believe unless you have the word of God within you. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's tangible. By faith, they moved mountains. They went through all of the struggles, as Hebrews 11 talks about, in the great hall of fame of faith, given up for dead, and they were raised again. See, we got to believe that way. But shall believe those things which he, somebody finish it for me, saith. Didn't say beggeth, didn't say complaineth. Watch this now. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, Be thou removed, cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, if I don't know my dominion, if I don't know my place in God, if I don't understand the kingdom, if I don't understand the Abba God, the Abba Father, if I don't understand who I am in Christ, and I don't understand my authority, and I don't understand the Word of God, how can we possibly be successful as Christians? How can we possibly be fruitful if we're ignorant to the things of God? We just pray the basics. Take care of me. Pray I don't get killed on the way to work. Pray that somebody help me. Pray the payroll lady gets it right. Because I sure don't want to be short. Because then I got to wait a whole nother week till dumbbell gets it right. Because you know they ain't going to cut you a check for an extra 50. See, we're so limited. We pray just these me prayers, these little me views, instead of speaking the Word of God. It can be towards you and for you, but it's not these basic things that God already knows you have need of. Does that make any sense? And I believe that's why we don't see the power of God. It's because we pray things emotionally instead of speaking with confidence. Hey, look at this. Verse 23, and he said, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Whatever it is. If you speak it according to the faith of God and the God kind of faith, you're going to have it. In verse 24, and I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. This is what I was waiting to get to. Whatsoever things you desire. Now watch. The desire of a Christian is always the desire of God. Because he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. We're not talking about fleshly desires. We're not talking about our needs necessarily. He said, I already have knowledge of that. I already know you need it. I'm going to take care of you. Look at the birds. Don't be like the pagans. I don't need mantras. I'm fully aware of your condition. But he says, look, he says the desires that we have that are godly, those are the ones he'll answer. Remember we talked about unanswered prayers? Aren't you glad you don't have that ungodly person that you were hoping for or whatever? That ungodly job, that ungodly location you wanted to move to or whatever, the things that we thought were right for us or what have you. Even as Christians, we prayed wrong. I know when I first got saved, I prayed some stupid prayers. Y'all can shake your head like this. Nobody's seeing you on camera. We all have. Amen. So therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, if you pray, huh? Oh, I got that weird translation. Hold on, let me fix that. This is a scratch and go one. When you pray, not if you pray, when you pray. Jesus said, look, you're going to have this God kind of faith. You got to activate it. You got to be consistent. You got to work this thing. Listen, if you work the word's going to work. But if you don't work the word will never work. That's why leaving it in your back dashboard or whatever, the windshield of your car, that ain't going to do you no good. Most people bring out the big old family Bible when the preacher comes visit. Still got plastic on it. Holy, 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 holy. It won't do you no good. This word has no power if it isn't activated. This word has no power unless you pray it. This word has no power unless it's spoken. Well, if it has no power, if it's not activated, then how could it ever be activated in your life if you don't activate it? How can it ever come to pass according to what Jesus said you could have if you don't speak it? I can't speak it for you. I pray for you and I love you, but you got to do this thing. Remember, when we get to heaven, he's not going to have the pastors come out and say, okay, bring your congregation. Where are they at? We all going to be all alone. Shaking a little bit, I imagine. Well, first we're going to be on the ground looking up. Watch this. I'm going to get out of your way. I know you want to go eat pizza or something, but Therefore, saying to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you might get them. You will. Now, it may not be on your time frame, but you're going to get it. God's going to provide. God is going to make a way in the proper season according to his divine will. And you know what? If you never get it, it wasn't his will for you to have it. And we got to be mature enough to say, Father, it's awesome. Whatever. Thank you so much that I didn't make the biggest mistake of my life. Thank you I didn't get that job. Thank you that he or she said no. Nope. We have to be careful that we don't go too far into the name it and claim it group where just grab things and just keep declaring it, trying to get it. No, we got to pray the will of God in our lives, and we got to declare it. You can't finish it without going to verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. That's the key. That's the key. That's the redemptive key. That's the key of humility. That's the key of love. That's the whole starter, if you will. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you for your trespasses. So we got to have a clean heart, don't we? But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. Or forgive your trespasses, I should say. That's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. I want to leave you with this understanding. And we're going to go further into the boldness of praying and things like that. But I want to leave you with this understanding. You and I have the opportunity to start over tomorrow with a fresh relationship with God in our prayer life. Even if it's just the basics of taking the word of God and just speaking it over your life, whatever it may be, you might need divine healing. Go to Isaiah chapter 53 and declare that word over you. It might be in the area of finances. You know it is the will of God for you to be blessed, right? It's the will of God for you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Then you should take the word of God and in the morning declare that and order your day. No matter what comes against you, you'll have the head start and you'll have the first swing in. Amen? I don't know about you. In any fight, you want to have the first swing, I hope, because you may not get the second one. Heavenly Father, love you so much. Thank you for this truth tonight. Help us to walk like Adam did, but really the second Adam. Help us to walk according to the precepts of faith and to speak confidently and order our day as the enemy's trying to plan to take us out. God, you got a plan to keep us in, and help us to understand that. Let none of us here tonight, or those listening to me, feel inadequate in our prayer. Let us just boldly come and say that you are Daddy God, and we love you, and we embrace you as you embrace us. Father, we bless you. We're looking forward to the next 2 days of VBS for these children to have a blast and to be filled with love and laughter, and most of all, filled with the Word of God. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. I love you. Amen. I love you. Amen.